Today on the Girl Defined Show, we are taking it back and we are talking about modesty. Modesty is something that actually randomly put Girl Defined on the map. People wanted us to talk about it. Every time we mentioned modesty way back in the day, our videos would go viral. People started buying our resources on modesty. And so we were like, hey, I guess this is something we should talk about. And then fast forward a few years and whew, we ghosted you. People have been asking, like, why don't you talk about modesty anymore? What's the deal? And the truth is that we've changed our mind on a lot of things. Like, we are going to be the first to admit it. Yes, we have changed our mind. And are we here to do a big apology video and say we're sorry? Like, no, that's not the point of this. We are here to say, hey, here's what we used to think. Here's what we think now. And we are going to clear the air. We are clearing the air in this video. So if modesty is something that you found Girl Defined through, awesome. And if you're like, I've never heard you talk about this, well, welcome. We are about to drop a modesty bomb. What's up, everybody? It is Kristen and Bethany here at Girl Defined, where we are fighting the lies of feminism and reclaiming the truth of who God created women to be. And one of the topics that is like all about women, yeah. I guess. Yeah. And we get a lot of people saying, why don't men talk about this for men? We're not dealing with men. We are here for women.
We are not. So that's talking. Okay, all you husbands, you can tune out right now. That's your cue. But this is something that my husband had a lot of thoughts on when we got married. And it's interesting because we grew up in a very conservative circle. We've talked about a lot of this in the response video that we made about the Shiny Happy People documentary, actually. Yeah. And that whole, like, you know, the Duggar family secrets and like the whole ATI conservative homeschool group. And there were some aspects of that that we were a part of that did influence our perspective and view on modesty in a way that I don't think we even realized until years and years later. And even today, disentangling some of that thinking and that identity that you take on with the way you dress in a way that isn't biblical, that isn't healthy, that is more objectifying and rooted in pride, quite honestly.
Yeah.
And so for us, when Zach and I got married, all that to say, we had a lot of conversations about modesty. And I remember he was more conservative on modesty. Sure. And he was the one that was more concerned, like, oh, like, I don't know. He had a lot of issues with some of the stuff that I wore. And so I remember as we were dating and then eventually got engaged that I started, you know, I was like, okay, well, I want to honor what he thinks. And, you know, he's a guy, like, okay. And so there was this one time where he was like, we had been out somewhere and there was this really creepy guy who was like giving me so many just like stare downs. And of course I hate that. I'm like, creepy guy, get away. Like, what are you doing? And I remember Zach was just furious about it. He's like, okay, that creepy guy, like he was just staring you down like so much. And like, he was so mad. And so he's in that moment of feeling like so mad about that guy and like wanting to punch him. We came home and we weren't married yet. And we were, you know, just hanging out. And he's like, I just think floor length skirts would be the best option for you. And I was like, what? He's like, no, I'm serious. I just think if you wore floor length skirts, that would solve a lot of problems. And I was like, what? And so we had a brief moment and I had a brief moment of shock where I thought he was really going to like keep pushing for this, but he didn't. Long story short, we've come a long way in our convictions and our thoughts about modesty, and we're going to unpack that right now. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but y'all, if you want to be a part of like the Girl Defined inner circle, where you get to be a part of like behind the scenes, what's happening, the latest releases before everyone else, that is over in our Patreon community. So if you'll go over to patreon.com/girldefined, we actually give our patrons the best of the best. So every single month when we release a new digital resource, we actually give that to our patrons as a way of saying thank you. So they support the work of Girl Defined with like $1, $2 per video every single month. And as our way of saying thank you, we do special Patreon giveaways. We do giving them our digital resources. We do all sorts of stuff just for that community. So right here, we have like our Psalms devotional that we have given them, 5 strategies to find freedom from sexual sin, an incredible guide. We also have a new release, Am I Ready to Start Dating? A practical guide to help you prepare for dating and marriage. Ooh. These are resources you can buy now in the Girl Defined shop, or if you sign up and become one of our patrons, you get access to all of these plus every digital resource we have ever created. So that is an amazing way to not only connect further with the community, but to also get free stuff. And who doesn't like free stuff?
I love free stuff. Where do they go to get this free stuff?
Patreon.com/girldefined.
Patreon.com/girldefined.
Okay. So the modesty, this is actually a topic I was really pushing for. I came back from a recent trip to Poland and I came back and I was like, Kristen, we need to talk about modesty. And
why? Yeah.
Okay. So this has been a big journey.
Take a deep breath. Wrestling with sexual sin is something that so many of us as Christian women, single and married, struggle with. And so often we feel like we're the only one. I know because I had my struggles with sexual sin, battling masturbation for years, longing to find freedom, but lacking the tools to help me do that, which is exactly why we've created instantly downloadable PDF resources that you can get in your hands right now at girldefined.com/shop, specifically helping you in the areas of sexual sin and sexual struggles. The newest one is called Finding Freedom from Masturbation, Gospel Strategies for Walking in Victory, a really helpful PDF that you can download today and begin walking that journey toward freedom. Another PDF is called 5 Strategies to Find Freedom from Sexual Sin. We have another digital resource called Battling Sexual Temptation, a Biblical Toolkit for Christian Girls. And y'all, these are just the ones on sexual struggles. We have PDF downloads on so many different topics for all stages and seasons of life, and you can find all of this at girldefined.com/shop. Just click the digital resources tab. That's girldefined.com/shop.
This has been a really big journey for me personally. So Kristen and I obviously grew up in the same house. We're only like a year and a half apart. So we grew up with like all the same convictions, except you know what was funny? You were like the rebel, like in high school. And
I was the rebel?
Yeah, like rebel when it came to
I was just boundaries. Always pushing the boundaries. Yeah. I never really liked being told what to do.
So I remember like when it came to like curfew when we were in high school, you were always like, I was always like trying to keep the get us home on time. And you're like, it's fine. And then when it came to clothes, that's the funny part. I remember you were always the one
pushing against the parents. Yeah. Like, okay, we want y'all to wear like, okay, skirts have to be this long or like shorts no shorter than this. And I was always like so mad about
it. Yeah. And which is funny now, we're kind of like I'm not pushing against it, but I would say you probably dress like more classic and conservative.
Okay, so let's get it out. Get it out. I dress how louder for the people in the back. Come on.
Like you're not really pushing any limits now, right?
I guess it's all a matter of perspective. There could be some people
within the family
I push the limits, others who don't.
Okay, within the family,
we have 5 sisters, so we have our own limits within our family.
I'm gonna have to get a ride home, y'all. We rode together. Call me an Uber.
No, I mean, I feel like I'm settled into a place where I'm comfortable with like the way I dress and what I wear, and you know, I'm not doing the floor length skirts, but you know, for sure. I don't know. I'm just
like, I feel like your sleeveless shirts are always about the same. Like your shorts are always about the same length. Like or your skirts, your dresses, you never come over and I'm like, ooh, that's a new thing. Like as far as like, no.
So now I don't ever buy anything new.
As far as modesty goes.
Okay.
That's a new thing as far as I'm not like, oh, I haven't seen you in something like that. Yeah. I can almost reliably count on like the level of modesty that you will be at.
I'm not in an offensive way. So on the flip side, I cannot rely on the level of modesty that you will be in. Your point?
Not anymore. Okay, so here's what happened. We had very, like, we'll just be honest, very black and white standards, very black and growing white convictions. Up. Well, into our, like, 20s.
Okay, yeah, growing up and into our 20s, I thought you were talking about where you are now.
Yeah, but I'm saying we have to set the stage.
Going back in time.
Okay, like I said in the intro, Project Modesty. Any OGs out there who are like, I know Project Modesty. That kind of put us on the map.
And what was it? Everybody's like, project. Was this like a big project you were doing?
How
you
dare
were
you not know?
Calling women to modesty. Okay. Like, what was Project Modesty?
It was just that, like, we started to talk about modesty on our blog when, you know, Girl Defined started, you know, in the ancient of dinosaur days and everyone was blogging, doing posts. We started talking about modesty and it like blew up. People wanted us to talk about it more. So we created a digital resource just like we do now, but it was called Project Modesty and it was like a whole ebook and it was a lot of work. We basically styled all of these outfits that were in for way back in the day. Now it's like,
okay, it was like almost 10 years ago. Okay. Come on. Back then they were inspiring.
And it was just like a whole mindset, how to view modesty, how to approach modesty. We were trying to be careful because we didn't want to put like black and white standards there, but we were saying, here's what we feel comfortable with at that point. And it kind of became like, this is the standard of modesty. We created this really trendy, cute video. A lot of stuff around this whole like brand Project Modesty started going viral. And so we just became known. People like started to even call us like the modesty ministry, which was never what we set out to do. But it just, because we were speaking up so boldly and so kind of confidently about it, people were drawn to it and hated it all at the same time. And so that's kind of what put, like, helped to put us on the map. There was a couple of things that put us on the map. That was one of them. And over the years, though, Kristen and I, as we've grown and I would say matured and really been humbled in our perspectives, as we've, like, I got married, you got married, just lived life, became moms, all this stuff, it really does change you. And as you become more mature in your understanding of the word, what the word actually says, what it doesn't say, you kind of disentangle, like you said, from, okay, what is actually true and what's something that is black and white in scripture and what is something that is a conviction and that each person, each couple, family, whatever needs to seek the Lord with. So that's kind of been the journey of saying, oh, maybe everything we said in Project Modesty is maybe a little too black and white.
Yeah.
Maybe because we used pictures to show outfits that can communicate, like, hey, this is the standard of modesty.
We were trying to inspire. We were trying to inspire to say, because I think a lot of people equated modesty with, like, grandma garb.
Yeah.
Like, you're wearing the most old-fashioned frumpy clothes. And so I think we, if I recall, we were trying to inspire, like, oh, here's how we dress modestly and here's how you can do it fashionably. I think our tagline was, like, how to combine fashion and modesty. It was, like, something like that.
Yes, you're right.
So we were trying to inspire, like, look, you can wear cute outfits that are trendy, but you don't have to show, like, every last inch of skin. I think that was kind of, like, our angle.
Totally. So a problem for me, and I'm just going to be, like, super honest with all of this. I actually talked about it on my Instagram in a minute. I'm going to go into my Instagram archives and find those stories because I do want to read some of them. But a big problem for me, like, when Dave and I got married, I was so, like, hyper aware of modesty. So it kind of, like, the world became almost like everyone was almost like a sexual being first and foremost. Like, we are sexual beings, but it almost became like I was hyper aware of everything sexual. So about me even, like, I viewed myself, like, in such a, like, sexual way that, oh my goodness, if the shirt is too tight, if my shorts are too short, if something, like, I am just, like, this walking sexual temptation, or, like, people are just going to look at me and be like, oh, this, she's just, like, sexual, you know? I don't know if that makes sense, but that's kind of how I lived in the world. So, like, even when Dave and I were dating and we were engaged and then we got married, I remember just, like, feeling the stress of, like, going into a restaurant and being like, oh my goodness, look, there's a girl there and she's got, like, a bunch of cleavage showing. It was hard for me to be present and enjoy because I just kept thinking, like, oh my goodness, how can a man be at a restaurant and see the cleavage and not just be, like, lusting tons? So it was, like, always felt like this battle, and, you know, and he wasn't saying that. I was putting that on him and I was putting that in the world. So my
life in the world,
my life was almost like this revolving around everything I was against, all the problems in the world. And it was hard to, like, actually live and enjoy because, oh my goodness, the billboard, oh my goodness, the mail, like, all of this stuff. And I almost felt, like, responsible for having to, like, keep him from failing and to not make other people fail. And I wouldn't have said that stuff out loud, but it kind of was, like, I can remember situations like that, the stress of it all. And even having conversations, like, during premarital counseling about this, like, it was a struggle. Yeah. Well, what was it like for you?
I think and I felt very similarly in getting married in the, it was my, like, it's the woman's job to protect the man, to keep him from sinning, to keep him from lusting, to keep him from failing. When you get married, it's your job to keep the marriage together and make sure that you adultery proof your marriage, you know, by, it's all on you, like, all on the woman. And I think that a lot of that stemmed from, as I'm thinking back to, like, my own journey and convictions and perspectives over the years, I think a lot of it did stem back to a lot of the teaching that we were exposed to when we were younger in some of these ultra conservative groups where modesty was front and center. And it was, like, not just front and center for women, but, like, one of the most important things about godly womanhood. And I remember, you know, hearing sessions on this and seeing the way other women would dress. And it was like, you know, talk about not wanting to objectify women. Like, it was this, we're pushing it, you know, the idea in these conservative circles was we don't want to objectify women and sexualize women like the culture is doing, you know, the secular, sinful culture. That's all it does is objectify and sexualize women. So we're going to pull against that. And instead, we are going to be godly and modest. And it became such a focus, so hyper-focused that I think in some ways we were being objectified in the 100%. Sense that we were now viewing ourselves as nothing more than sexual objects that we had to cover. We didn't even know how to look at our own curves and appreciate them in a way that was God honoring because it was just cover, bigger, baggier. I'm a sexual being. I'm a sexual object. And, like, the more I cover, the more godly I am.
Yeah.
And, like, that in so many ways was the vibe of those conservative circles. And you could look around and you could just see, like, across the room at some of these conferences, everyone was dressed the same.
Yeah, totally.
It was like these floor length denim skirts, you know, very, like, the long sleeves, sleeves, very loose fitting. Nobody wore pants because pants were considered, we wore pants.
Yeah.
We wore shorts. We still did sports.
Only. Yeah.
We were never fully bought into this, but the mindset was like, okay, you know, the Bible talks about women shall not wear men's clothes and men wear women's clothes in the Old Testament. So if women wear pants, yeah. then she's like dressing like a man. And looking back, I'm just like, oh, I mean, that's just so crazy to me. Cause I think of the type of outfits that they wore in Bible times where they were like yeah. literally wearing like long tunics that were like dresses. And I think of these manly men in Scotland wearing kilts that are yeah. literally skirts. And it's like, okay, it's all within your cultural context yeah. of what it means to be a man and a woman and culturally what the clothes are. And if at one point pants were for men, but now they're actually for men and women and you can be very feminine in pants, well, cultures and times change.
Yeah.
And so we have to keep it like within context of what's mod, like what is happening in culture anyway, rabbit trail. So all of that to say, I think that my
good rabbit there, good rabbit.
Boing, 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 bringing it back. I think that my perspective was very much shaped by that, very black and white. And I equated godliness with outward dress. Yeah. And it was hard for me to disentangle that perspective and recognize like, yeah, modesty matters. It's not like throw it all out and walk around nude. I'm a liberated Christian woman. It's like, where do you find that balance? But going to the heart of it. Yeah. And for me, I was missing the heart and yeah. I was just focusing on the externals.
The part that became the most challenging for me was as I got married and was actually married to a man, I had all these ideas of what modesty should look like. I mean, I don't know if any of y'all remember way back in the day, the Harris brothers, that's like a buzz name, oh, but they had like this whole-
Like Josh Harris, and then he had the two Alex yes. and Brett, the younger brothers.
And they yeah. had the revolution, but they had like released this whole thing on modesty. And it was like, remember-
It was a survey. It was like yeah. a huge modesty survey that they were like thousands of people. And it was yes. like what guys think about modesty. Yes. yes.
And I remember reading that like in high school or whenever. And it was like, okay, if a shirt is too tight, if a bra strap is out, like all of this yeah. stuff and what guys think. And so I just had this very like, and I, you know, in these conferences we went to and stuff, there was so much stuff like this. So it was like, wow, men are just like stumbling left and right. And they're so weak. And like, basically we must protect them, you know, all of this stuff. So then getting married and my husband is like, not really of those mindsets. And he's like, you know, more like we can have self-control and the Holy Spirit can empower us and we mm-hmm. can make choices and we can choose where we go and what we look at and all of this. Obviously he's still a man, but he, you know, was just like, wow, like this is like a mm-hmm. really intense perspective and just more even for the way I viewed myself. He was like, whoa, like just the way you walk into a room and what you think about yourself, what you think about other people, mm-hmm. it just seems like not very healthy and very stressful and very much like so enslaving, you know, like not really living for the glory of God and freely being able to enjoy dinner. I'm like so stressed about certain things. And so he started, you know, saying like, oh, I really like when you wear like these kinds of shorts or that kind of dress. And they weren't within my modesty box. Mm-hmm. And so it started to really challenge me because I'm like, wow, I'm married to a man and a man who I am like so often have been like concerned about not wanting to, you know, like be a temptation for, not that I thought, you know, that whole thing. I didn't think women were responsible, but I wanted to be an encouragement as a sister in Christ, all of that. And so I had to start asking myself like, wait, why do I have this conviction? Hmm. Is it because I really think like all men think this way and I need to dress this way? Or like, what? Like, what? Why am I dressing and what am I doing? And so my husband actually for several birthdays now, we've been married for about 5 years. He loves to buy me.
This is really sweet.
He loves to buy me clothes. Wait, is this what you're thinking? What are you thinking?
Oh, I'm just thinking about how he loves to buy you clothes.
Oh, because, like, wait, what's so sweet?
Because Zach, wait, he would never even attempt to try to buy me clothes. No, ever. But Dave like really loves to love you in this way. And I just think it's really sweet.
From when we were engaged. Yeah. I mean, he literally like from before, yeah, when we were dating and engaged, he's always loved to get me clothes, whatever thing. So he's always like reached out to my sisters to get like stuff. We made a note one time with like all of my measurements and sizes so that he would be able to go and like see and go to like shop online. And so he has always loved that. That's always been something that he's loved to do. And there have been some big wins.
Because
big
she's
misses.
He's probably thinking like the only way to get her to wear what I want is if I buy it for her like on her birthday and then she has to wear it.
So it's been really challenging though, because he like, you know, this last birthday, it's like he really enjoys things on me that he thinks are completely appropriate and classy for the public and things that I haven't worn previously. And I don't think, you know, like I talked about it on my social media and stuff, but it's like so much on a podcast to go into like this and that and like the strap or that's not the point of it. The point of it is that like, like, it's really been challenging me. And so I'm actually going to read to you some of the posts because I wrote it all out. And I think you'll find this super interesting. I posted these few stories to social media describing what I was thinking and how I've been feeling right now. And the response to these stories was massive. So many women were responding saying, that's exactly where I've been. That's been my journey. Like, I haven't known how to, like, you know, articulate this, but that's, yes, like, I'm right there with you. So let me read some of what I said. I was talking about a few things and I say, oh, and that also brings up the topic of modesty. I said, I had some pretty hard black and white standards when Dave and I got married. We've had so many conversations of me just taking what I believe and kind of rebuilding it from the ground up. I do wear many things now that I wouldn't have when we first got married. And then I say, like this athletic dress that I'm wearing. And I say, I've also stopped over-sexualizing myself and others. That's been huge. This is a longer conversation and one some may agree or disagree with, but I've honestly been loving this journey and loving the direction my family is headed. I say, unpacking why I do what I do and where my convictions are rooted has been huge. So much of modesty Christian culture did not give the results many hoped for. Girls grew up to have a lot of body image issues and guys grew up and had a lot of porn and other struggles, and many marriages were and still are a wreck. I don't think creating more boundaries is the answer. And that's kind of how I felt sometimes. Like, oh, if that didn't work and we had all these boundaries, we need to have more boundaries. And I think that's like missing the point. I say, I think it's truly a matter of the heart and having a desire to honor the Lord to the best you know how. Many of my previous convictions were rooted in fear. Fear of men lusting after me, fear of being too sexual, fear of all that. So much of that is gone now, and it's amazing to live and not always fret. I also have a man who wants to honor others and me. He wants to honor God. He's fully capable of looking away if he wants to or needs to. I don't need to police him or be his Holy Spirit. And I say, many of my previous modesty convictions truly were based out of fear. I 100% admit that. And then I said, this is another reason we rarely talk about modesty anymore over at Girl Defined. It's just much more difficult conversation than we used to think it was. I say, my heart is to honor the Lord in this area, but I'm definitely in the questioning and rethinking phase. I don't want to spend my life stressing about and living under so much fear. I don't want to be afraid of my body or try to hide the fact that I'm a woman. And why am I so afraid to wear certain things that my husband finds attractive on me and things are perfectly appropriate for public? This may sound crazy to some, but those that get it, get it. And then I said, does this interest anyone? And then like a million people said, yes. And then I said, my sisters and I have been talking about it a lot and people wanted to know more what the sisters thought.
What do the sisters think? The sisters
in. Here they are.
No, I brought you in, actually. Okay, so what inspired you to write that? And like to post, you just did this recently. So what inspired you to be in this moment that you're in?
So here's part of the problem is that when you've lived a certain way and you even have a strong family culture, even when you're freaking in your 30s and you got two kids, you almost feel like, oh my goodness, I'm embarrassed or I don't want to step outside the mold of kind of what the family has always thought. Because what if, like, it's literally fear of what other people will think of you. Like, what if I wear something that you're like literally that you might be like, oh wow, look what Bethany's wearing now, you know? And so you almost want to hide and you almost... Again, you're living in fear. And now it's not the fear that you think something is wrong, but the fear of people looking down on you, the fear of people not respecting you as much, the fear of people. So it's like living a life of fear. And so I thought, wow, like I am actually changing and growing. Why am I afraid to actually share this in my stories with pictures of what I actually wear? Why do I feel like I have to not pretend, but kind of still put on this front of like, this is who I am. But in reality, like I'm not exactly that person anymore. And so it just felt kind of fake. And I thought, what do I have to lose when you're totally honest and you're totally raw and real? Yeah. Like people either like you or they don't. And if they don't and they don't respect you, they'll leave. And that's fine. You know, like I'm a work in progress. We're growing. And I think when you follow a ministry like Girl Defined, you have to know that. Like we started this ministry when we were in our 20s. If you think that we know everything and we were like gods when we're in our 20s, like I'm sorry to disappoint, we're not, you know? And so you have to know if you're following any human, they're going to change and hopefully will grow and mature. And so you have to take what they're saying and then evaluate it to scripture and come up with your own convictions. And so when people say like, what about all the people that you heard and stuff, like we say it over and over and over again, go to the word yourself. We used to say that back then. We never said we are the final authority back then. We always encourage you, go to scripture, get a mentor, make these decisions for yourself. We are going to share our journey, but part of that is that we're going to be flawed humans. We're not going to do everything right. We're not going to do everything perfectly. I guarantee you in 10 years, I'll probably say something different than I'm saying now because hopefully I'll have matured and humbled my heart and grown. But I'm just telling you, like being able to live in a world where I can, you know, go to dinner with my husband or, you know, we can, I mean, it's simple things like going to the gym and not worrying like, oh my goodness, is like, what's going to happen with him? What's going to happen with me? It's just like, we make wise decisions. We're not just like foolish and stupid and like creating all these heart connections with people, but we are like, we make choices and we live with intention. We live as like, wow, we have these a relationship with each other that we want to honor. We want to respect each other. It's just like such an amazing way to live. And I had a long conversation actually with my pastor. Sorry, I'm on a roll.
She's on a roll. Roll it out.
It's a very passionate topic of mine. So I actually, this was not that long ago. We go to an amazing church and we love our pastor, super close with like all of those people. And so I actually was able to have a conversation asking him about this because my husband and I were having a conversation about going to the SeaWorld water park area.
Oh.
So we had summer passes and I would take the kids there since I'm like, you know, obviously with them all day. And so we had this conversation, like, what if we all went as a family? And for me, that was always and has been like a big no, like the guys don't go to the water park because how can you do anything but just like lust all over the place if you're in a place like that? So I brought it up to my husband and I was like, oh, what do you think about this? Like SeaWorld, it's a very family friendly place. You know, don't at us for SeaWorld. And I was like, what do you think? Like for me back in the day, that was like such a no. So I asked my pastor about that. I was like, okay, this has always been like such a no. We would never do like a SeaWorld type of place, a water park. And he was sharing how with him and his family, a big part of what they do is they really ask like, what are we for? What are we here for? A lot of Christians, we know what we're against. So we can walk into a room and we'd be like, I'm against that. Like, I don't want to have the, you know, the floss butt bikini showing at the water park. I'm against that. I'm against that. And we're very much like, we are against all of these things, but we often don't know what we're for. Why are we there? So for example, the dinner, oftentimes I knew what I was against. Oh no, are there people that, you know, are dressed immodestly? Like, oh no, this is going to be a problem. How are we going to enjoy? Blah, blah, blah. You know, all this stuff. I was always living in this space of like, what am I against? And so changing that and saying, what am I here for? Oh, I'm here to have dinner with my husband. I'm here to enjoy like connecting with him. You know, we're on this date night. This is amazing. And you're like the priorities completely shift into place. And so he was sharing like if they go to my pastor thing, like if they go to a water park or to the beach, like you can make choices. Like there are different types of water parks. There are different types of beaches. There are different levels of crowdedness. Yeah. There are different pools with different types of people. You don't have to just go, okay, once and for all, this is how it is. But you can say, oh, you know, this is a really family friendly place. Obviously any water park, there's going to be a lot more skin, but you can decide like, hey, what are we here for? What are we doing? What's the purpose of why we're here? And you focus on that. So you go in with an intention of like, this is why I'm here. And you're there to enjoy time with your family, to make memories, to be together. You're not there to like, always hiding, you know, and learning to live in the world and be about what you're for and not living in so much fear. And honestly, that might sound really simple, but it's changed a lot for me. Mm. I know I'm talking. But I mean, you have two boys now. Like this is a whole conversation. What do you think?
Yes. As a Christian woman, have you ever wondered, what does it actually mean to embrace biblical womanhood? It's this huge term, and oftentimes we have no idea what it looks like to live out and embrace God's design, which is why I have great news for you. We've created an incredible PDF downloadable resource called Embracing Biblical Womanhood, a Christian woman's guide to understanding and living out God's timeless design. You can download this PDF today and start digging into the incredible teaching that will help you practically understand how to live out and embrace God's design for your life as a woman today. You can download this right now at girldefined.com/shop. Just click the digital resources tab. That's girldefined.com/shop.
Well, we've talked a lot about this because we have two boys and they're not just little tiny boys like toddlers. They are older, now 13 and 9. And I remember years ago, I'm ashamed to say that there was a couple that we were friends with that Zach wanted to invite over for dinner, but the woman, in my opinion, back then and how I thought with a very similar perspective of kind of sexualizing, objectifying everyone in my mind of just like, oh, it's like all I could see when I walked into a room. She would, in my opinion, then, I think I've changed a lot in how I would even view her now, dressed immodestly. And so I remember telling Zach, like, oh, I just don't know if it's the best idea to have them over. Just like the four of us. It was before we had kids, like, you know, cause she like dresses really immodestly. And he was like, well, you know, but they're like our friends. Can't we love them? And I remember being so hung up on the fact of like how she dressed that I couldn't even get past that enough to invite them over and show them hospitality and love them as people. Yeah. And so exactly what you're saying.
saying, like, when it becomes such a hyper focus, it's all you think about, all you can see, to the point that it cripples you in many ways to even live out your faith and live out the gospel and love people. Now, that doesn't mean you just throw everything out and you walk into a strip club with your whole family because you're like, there's freedom. And like, no, like you're saying, there are choices. There's wisdom. You might try something and go, you know, that wasn't beneficial for me as a believer, for my heart, my thoughts. Okay, then you can change your mind. You can do something different. But for me, it was just such a hyper focus. So I am thankful in many ways how the Lord has changed my heart to focus on the person and not just the outfit, or to focus, like on your saying, in the restaurant, enjoying that moment with my husband and not like so hyper focused on what the waitress is wearing and that picture that's hanging on the wall and all the things going on around us, but trusting that my husband loves the Lord, that he's a godly man, that if he has a problem, he's going to vocalize that to me. He's going to say, you know, honey, this isn't helpful for me right now. Can we leave? Or can we sit somewhere else? Like, to be able to have that trust and that's openness in your marriage. Like, you have to have those open conversations. So for us, things have shifted a lot too. I mean, we don't have time to go into every last detail. I will say this though, my mindset has shifted from godliness being just about the externals and what you wear to modesty being about, where is my heart in this? Am I trusting the Lord? Am I worshiping the Lord in what I wear? Am I trusting my husband that he loves the Lord, that the places we go, that he cares to honor the Lord for himself? Am I willing to trust God with that? Like, so much of it goes back to the heart, and from the heart that is dedicated to worshiping and glorifying God, from there, I think, and only there, we're able to actually make choices about our clothing that honor God, regardless of where we land. We are not all going to land on the same place. We are not all going to have the same standards. You and I as sisters, we're probably not going to have exactly the same preferences, clothing styles, what we would consider our personal modesty standards in our hearts of like where the line is for us of what I will wear, what I won't. And that's okay. I think what we should be focused on as believers is not just going for the outward appearance, but going for the heart and really getting to know people. How are you? Where are you at in your walk with God? You know, how you doing? Like, getting to know the person, and from there, like, making sure we're glorifying God from that place. And so that's what's changed most for me. And I do feel a lot of freedom. I know we just barely scratched the surface, and you're probably left with a lot of more questions than even answers. But the point of having this conversation with the two of us, with you, is that we want to start this conversation. We're bringing modesty back to Girl Defined, but in a different way, in a way where we're talking about it like this. And I know you might be craving more specifics, or you might say, okay, Bethany, I want to know specifically, what are your modesty standards now? Or Kristen, what does that look like? How do you come to these decisions? Like, you might have a lot of questions. I don't know if we can always give answers. Like she said, we're always changing and growing, and what we do isn't the most godly choice. Yeah. But yeah, we'd love to continue talking about this because it is something kind of complicated and nuanced, and we can encourage each other as sisters in Christ, like linking arms and saying, we get it. It's hard. It's multifaceted. Let's work it out together. Let's talk about it together. Let's even challenge each other and sharpen each other in how we're thinking about this, how we're living this out. So come do that with us. We would love to hang out with you and continue this over on Instagram. That's where we have all the fun chats about these topics, at Girl Defined. Come hang out with us on this video if you're not already there, and let's continue this conversation. And if you appreciate conversations like this, if you're like, yes, I want more of this, you can let us know by leaving a 5-star review on Apple or on Spotify. And that lets us know, I liked this, I want more of this. And quite honestly, it's really encouraging
when you guys leave us 5-star reviews, and it takes like no time and it's free. So just do it. Okay.
5-star review. Go, go, go. Right now. And then come back and join us again next week for another episode of the Girl Defined Show.